So, good evening to all, dear brothers and sisters in Christ. By God's grace, we gathered again to discuss His wonderful words of life. So, probably I think we covered till page number 137 in Nepali. So, we'll try to just discuss some questions, okay? And we'll try to move as much as possible. Okay, now the first question what we're going to discuss is last time we studied till page number 127, okay? So the question what we are going to see today is that what is the test that will confirm the great company as worthy of the Levite's position under the kingdom? So that's the question. So that's in page number 127. The answer is given in page number 127, paragraph 1 and 2. So what is the test? Okay, now Gopal brother, only you have to answer. So Ashish brother is listening. And so as you tell, we can move ahead very fastly. So what do you think? What is the test of the great company by which they lose the crown?
And they need zeal and love to win it, brother. But they lack such thing, so they lose the crown.
Very good, very good. So the zeal, you see, the love upon the Lord is very, very important. Okay. The zeal and the energy, you see, that is lacking in the great multitude. That is what makes them to lose their crown. And you see, they fall into the great multitude. So love, if you see, how does this love develop? And how this love comes, if you see, it is actually a result of faith. So you have no faith, you see, there'll be more love, you see, and that will help us to sustain the narrow way and the trials which we face in our life and help us to overcome. But this great multitude lack, you see, this love and the faith, and hence they fall to the, you see, the great multitude. And what is the next point that is mentioned in the next paragraph? What is also required from the great multitude? Munna sister is there, good. She can also join the discussion. Okay, now Gopal brother, tell me, what else is required from the great multitude? Is it just sufficient that if they consecrate, or what else is required from them?
Apart from consecration, brother.
Yeah, apart from consecrating, what else is required from them? What does the Lord require from them? What do they need to demonstrate?
They need to demonstrate that they would not deny him at any cost, brother.
Very good, very good. So here it clearly says the consecration is not sufficient, you see. But the additional they have to do is that they not to deny the Lord at any cost. So this is the test, you see, for the church class. You see, as we go ahead in narrow walk of life, there comes a lot of trials where there will be immense pressure, and there where there will be a possible that we deny the Lord. You see, so many possibilities, so many trials will come, but that is the time that our real test will come, where we need to show our faithfulness to the Lord and remain intact in the truth. You see, like for example, the trials of our Lord Jesus Christ. You see, Lord Jesus Christ was in Garden of Gethsemane. He prayed to the Father, "Father, if it be thy will, let this cup pass from me. Yet not my will, but thine will be done." So three times he prayed to the Father, you see, that this pass from him. So there, if you see, Jesus had that trial, you see. So Jesus, though the pressure was immense upon him, you see. And not only that one, during the Garden of Gethsemane, as I told you, he requested the Lord that that moment of turmoil and doubt, and you see so many questions that are politically in his mind that passed away. But yet it was the Lord's will that he has to go through this experience, and not only that one, on the cross, you see, Jesus was left alone. God forsook him. So he had to pass through the veil of death alone. Because why Jesus had to pass through this veil of death alone? Any idea, Gopal brother?
He needs to pay the ransom for Adam.
Very good. He has to pay the ransom for Adam. Apart from this reasoning of paying the ransom for Adam, any particular you see relationship had it had an impact regarding Jesus's and Father's you see covenant? Did it have any impact on or any effect on his relationship with his father? One of the reasons that he had to pay the ransom. But apart from the you see, reasoning of paying the ransom, what else you see might be the reason that God permitted this experience in the life of Jesus? Okay. Now let us read one verse. Gopal brother, read Hebrews 2:9, brother.
Okay, brother. Hebrews 2 verse 9, but we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor, that he, by the grace of God, should taste death for every man.
Okay. He, by grace of God, should taste death. Now, the tasting of death is called as the grace of God. How is the grace of God? What is the, you see, wages of sin?
Wages of sin is death, brother.
Death. So, the death should come only for sinners. But here, if you see, it says it's the grace of God. Then, committing sin, is it grace? No. But here, this grace of God applies only to our Lord Jesus Christ. Because he was a sinless person, holy, harmless, undefiled, separate from sinners. By no reason or no cause, you see, he could suffer death at any cost. You see, if he was supposed to face death or get death, you see, that would be a totally... what do you say, violating the justice, which is the foundation of God's throne. Because one who commits sin, to them only death penalty can be granted. But here, Jesus had to taste death. How could he taste death? You see, that could only be possible when Father forsake him, when Father treated him in the place of a sinner. You see, that was God's grace. God showed this grace to Jesus in that he left Jesus to pass through this, you see, gate of death alone. Because sinners are isolated from God. Only they are only separated from God. Only they only face death. So here, you see, this was a very, you see, severe trial for Jesus. Therefore, we read in Psalm 22 that his heart was broken and raptured, you see, and hence that Jesus faced death. So, this trial, this test, Brother Russell, when he mentions about these points in his comments, he tells, this trial God will give to everybody. You see, God will give to everybody at some part of their life, you see. Where there will be severe pressure, you see, to test whether they are able to withstand or not, such a way that they either deny or this is stand for the Lord. So this trial will come. So that is the time that the great multitude you see fall out of the way. Okay, but okay. Now, Gopal brother, do you remember any scripture or any incident where Jesus, or any example or any parable where Jesus mentioned that possible that some people will deny the Lord, some people will remove their robes? Do you remember any such incident or scriptures in the Bible?
Removing the clothes, brother.
Yeah. Any incident where Jesus mentions about these things or a parable? Do you remember any of those things?
I think it's a parable of banquet, brother.
Ah, very good. You're absolutely right. So here again, that's also the same thing. You see the parable of the banquet. You see, so everybody are into the wedding feast. They are feasting nicely. That means all eating spiritual food, good food. You see, they're all nice. You see, enjoying the spiritual feast. You see, walking in the narrow walk of life. You see, partaking with the food which the king has prepared, the meat in due season. But suddenly, what happens is that you see, a man is found. Matthew 22nd chapter. You see, verse 11. A man is found without the wedding garment. So the king asked, friend, where is your wedding garment? How did you come inside without a wedding garment? So he could not come without a wedding garment. That means the robe of righteousness. So we can't come inside the feast, you see, and eat the taste, the good things to come, and taste the good word of God, you see, until we consecrate. You remember, Gopal brother, in the tabernacle, the holy was there and the most holy was there. Where was the candlestick? The tabernacle.
It's in holy, brother.
In the holy. You see, that signifies the brightness which we get through the Holy Spirit, the understanding of the scriptures which we get more and more through the Holy Spirit. You see, so yeah, what has happened is that, you see, this person's mind is enlightened. He knows everything clearly. But there comes a mode where either he is put to severe trial, or either is put to severe, you see, lifting up. That means God will either put him to very humble situation where nobody will be with you, or else God will put him into such a high position that everybody will start appreciating you. See, in both these cases, what will happen? The pride will develop. Once the pride comes, once he reaches in very top and everybody are, you see, on him, what will happen? He might fall into the, you see, at the trap of the adversary, and he may try to remove the robe. He may think that, oh, what all I have conquered, what all I have achieved, what all I have got, it is through my own works. It is not through, you see, my master's, you see, redemption or ransom, you see. So that is also a possibility. And the character of the great multitude, where they withdraw their sacrifice, where they remove their robe. They think, oh, this character can be developed by any person. A beautiful character, a good character, you see, much like our master. This can be developed without even wearing the robe of righteousness, you see. So that also is a possibility. So here, the possibility is that either you may be completely humbled. You see, where a possibility might come that you may question the Lord. You see, where you may try to deny the Lord. These are the trials of the new creation. That's what our brother says in this volume, in this paragraph. It is not only full consecration, that is not only sufficient, but you need to demonstrate, you see, whether you are worthy of that, you see, position of the winning the crown. Okay, good. Now, next question. Okay, so we're not reading the paragraph because, Gopal brother, I think you already read this paragraph and you're quite well versed in these things. Okay, the next question. And the question, because you see, the next question is that who were the three sons, or who were Levi's three sons, and what were their position with respect to the tabernacle in the wilderness? Okay. Do you remember, Gopal brother? They were actually the three sons of Levi. And they were particularly told to reside in the tabernacle, different sides of the tabernacle. So you tell me, first of all, what are the names of the three sons?
They were Kohath, Gershon, and Merari.
Very good. Kohath, Gershon, and Merari. Okay, good. Okay, now where was Kohath supposed to reside? Where were they supposed to put their tents?
The south side, brother.
Very good. So that's given in paragraph, page 128, the second paragraph. Okay. Now what about Gershom?
West, brother, west.
Good, good, good.
Backside.
West side. Okay, good. Now what about Merari?
Merari, the north side, brother.
Good, good. Now which is the other side that is left over? Which direction is left over?
East side, brother.
East side. Now who is this side and the east side?
It's a priest.
So what's the name? What is the group of the name?
It's Amram, brother, son of
Very,
Kohath.
very good, very good. Very good, brother. So Amram. So these four people, they all came from the tribe of Levi. You see, Amram resided on the you see on the east side. That means you see on the east direction. The gate of the is the tabernacle from was from west to east. You had to go towards the east direction. So towards the east direction they had to reside, and Kohath was towards the south, and Merari was towards the north, and Gershom towards the you see rear or the backside of the west side. Okay, now you tell me, what are these three or four groups? Who are these four groups? What does it signify? Do they signify any particular group of people in God's plan?
Yes, brother. They signify justified humanity.
Okay, now whom does Amram signify?
Amram signifies it's a high priest class, brother. It's
Okay, now
144,000.
who are the priest class?
144,000.
Very good. So how do you compare them to Amram? On what basis you are telling that you see Amram can be compared to a little flock? Is it because Brother Russell has given, or how is it?
Yes, brother. It's the name Amram signifies a high people or exalted one. So, this the name actually signified. Fitting. The name is fit for the priest class or little flock, brother. So, after glorifying, they will be highly exalted. So, this name is totally fit for 144,000.
Good, 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 brother. Yes, you see, that name signifies high people. And not only one, you know, Moses was from this family only. You see, Moses' family was from Amram. So, Moses was the one who was completely taking in charge of the, you see, oversetting the entire thing of the tabernacle. So, these people are the highly exalted ones. So there's nothing greater than the divine nature. So this group represents the group of people who are going to the divine nature. Good, okay. Now what about Kohath? Whom does that Kohathites represent?
They represent ancient world, this brother.
Okay, how do you tell that this is the ancient Buddhist? How can you tell this is the ancient Buddhist?
Because this name signifies a comrade, so it means they have seen they have shown their worthiness through faith and obedience, loyalty to God, and their willingness to suffer for the righteousness.
Good.
And
Okay. Now, there's one more way where you can identify that these can signify the ancient bodies. How, if you see, these resided in a particular direction. Which direction did they stay?
Kohath, the south direction, brother.
Okay. Now, what does south signify in the Bible?
North heaven. It's earth, brother.
Very good. See, south is opposite of north. North in the Bible signifies, you see, heaven, and opposite of heaven is earth. So, who is the class of people who will come to the earthly salvation, and who can be compared to comrade? Comrade means allies, or what do you say, a companion. You see, now who can be the companion of the church on the earthly salvation? If you see, it is none other than the ancient worthies. So ancient worthies clearly picture these Kohathites. Not only one, if you study about Kohathites, the character, it clearly, you see, matches with the character and the trials which the ancient worthies faced. Okay, good brother. Now, what does the group Merari signify? Whom does this Merari group signify?
Merari signifies a great company, brother.
Okay, how do you how do you how can you tell that these are the great company?
Because Merari, the name Merari means bitterness. So this great company had to go through a tribulation and a lot of bitter experiences. This Merari signifies a great company, brother.
Okay, now which direction did Merari stay?
Merari next
Okay.
Merari brother.
Page number 128,
Yes,
second paragraph.
Merari. The north side brother.
Very good. So north means, what does this signify?
It means heaven
Very
brother.
good. Now, who are the people who go to the heavenly salvation with bitter experiences, terrible experiences?
Yes, obviously they were great company, brother.
Yes. Obviously, they are the great quantity. You see, in Revelation 7 chapter, they ask, no, who are these? Who are these who washed their robes? You see, in great tribulation. You see, so these are the great multitude. They have washed their robes in the great tribulation because they defiled their robes. You see, so hence, they are not worthy to be taken to, you see, that divine nature. They could not be found worthy. You see, bitter experiences are there for both of the class of people. The little flock, as well as you see, the what do you say, and the great multitude, both. But the little flock, you see, they take it in a very, you see, a good spirit. Read Acts 14:22, brother. Acts 14:22.
Acts 14, verse
Oh,
22,
Acts 14:22.
okay, brother. Confirming the souls of the disciples and exhorting them to continue in the faith, and that we must through much tribulation enter into the kingdom of God.
Yes, very good. I say, okay, good, Romans, my brother. We'll ask you also some questions. You see, through much tribulation, we need to enter the kingdom of God. So tribulations are must for entire class of people, whether we be the great multitude or the little flock. But one thing is that the way they accept it, the way they face it, the way they pass through it, you see, that all determines. You see, like for example, you see, apostles. Did apostles have trials and tribulations in their life? Did they
Yes,
have?
brother, a lot
Yes,
of
they
trial and
had.
tribulation.
Apostle Paul gives his experiences, how many times he was beaten, how many times he was stoned, how many times the ship he traveled at a shipwreck. You see, how many times he had to, you see, be in the midst of the sea, how many days and nights among the false brethren, upon all these things, the cares of all the churches. So it was not an easy matter. The tribulations are there. So he was also a tribulation saint, but he did not be the part of the great multitude. He overcome. You see, he overcame all these things in a right attitude. Because tribulations, you see, is it necessary or not? For a Christian, is tribulations necessary or not? Romy sister and Amar brother, you can also join. As there are only three persons who can answer. So whichever question you're able to answer, you can answer. Why tribulations are required in our life? Okay, Gopal brother, you can carry on.
Yes, brother, it's very necessary because it will refine ourselves as like God-like character. So it's very important for us, brother.
Very good. You see, to mold our old creature, you see, and to help the new creature develop in Christ likeness, this is very, very important. You see, it is like what yourself, you're beating yourself. You see, you are suppressing yourself as an old man and allowingly the new man to pop up, and allowingly the new man to do the Lord's work. Read 1 Corinthians 9. 1 Corinthians 9, 27. Romy sister or Amar brother, if you're there, you can read. Okay. Gobble brother, please.
But I keep under my body and bring it into subjection, lest that by any means, when I have preached to others, I myself should be a castaway.
You see, I keep my body under. So I keep my body under means what? To bring it into subjection means I try to beat it up so it may never rise again and do things which are disliked by the Lord. You see, and always try to suppress it. You see, the new creature has to dominate. So it doesn't happen any magic. You see, so the trials are there. The trials always, it will keep a person humble. It will keep a person under, you see, the Lord. You see, never develop pride. So similarly, these trials are required to always be subject to God. So both class of people trials are there, but one takes it in a good spirit, you see, and remains humble in the hand of God, submits to God. But a great multitude, they began to murmur and question the Lord. You see, the supreme creator of this universe, the people of Israel, they had trials. But what did they do in the trials? They grumbled, they grumbled, they murmured, they questioned the Lord, they tested, they tempted the Lord. You see, so both trials are there. But how would you face the trials? This is what it depends. Hence, this Merari are the group of people who go through different bitter experiences. You see, so they can't be taken to heaven, with this character which they have not developed. You see, so this signifies the great multitude. Okay, good. At last, what does this Gershom signify? What does Gershom signify?
It signifies the world of mankind.
Yes. So who is the one who's left over? If you see, we studied about little flock, great multitude, ancient worthies. The only class of people that are left over is the world of mankind. Very good. So see, the Bible gives different pictures about the world, God's plan. The four salvations, two in each salvation, heavenly and earthly salvation. Each and every salvation has two groups. You see, which other examples we have studied, Gopal brother? Do you remember any other examples what you have studied about these four salvations?
Example, brother.
Any similar examples? We have studied about these four classes of people, four groups of people which are compared to different things in the Bible.
Yes, it's in Zechariah chapter four, chariots,
Very
and
good.
it's in Genesis also. So
Very good.
four rivers out of Garden of Eden.
Very good. You see, so those things also signify the same thing. Four chariots represents the four different salvations. The four rivers out of Eden, you see, that again signifies. You see, what is signified? It again signifies, you see, the four salvations which God has given. Good. Anyway, the same picture again is represented in the Levites residing on the four directions of the tabernacle, very close to God. ultimately, when God's plan is fulfilled, the whole mankind, the entire mankind will be Levites, will be God's children. So they'll be residing close to God. Who will be the closest? Kohathites. Who will be the next closest? You see, these are the Kohathites. Next, Merari, Gershom. So this is a wonderful study. So when you're free, you can use the study. You can study this one, so based on the directions, based on the things they used to carry. So these are all got beautiful lessons for us. Okay, good. Now let us see the next question. State the respective order and rank of these antitypical Levites in the kingdom. So I think that's what we read now. Okay, now you tell me, brother. This is also a similar question. But anyway, you can tell me, what is the order of the antitypical Levites in the kingdom?
A little flock,
Okay.
and then great company,
Okay.
and ancient worthies, then
Okay.
upper world of mankind.
Okay. Do you have any scriptures that this is the order?
Because they both the ancient worthies and great multitudes, they go to heavenly salvation, brother, as God promised to Abraham. So,
Okay.
and after that, the ancient worthies, they will be in earthly salvation because it's in Psalm 45 chapter. That's talk about they will be the son. They were fathers before, but they will be the son in the kingdom.
Very
So,
good. So Psalms 45. You see the
yes.
queen, the first one who goes into the king's chamber is the queen. Next, the concubines follow. So, of course, without the lack and fortune going through, you see, these gates, the great multitude could never follow. You see, great multitude can never be before them. So, you see, this is the first class who has to go. You see, and after that one, in Psalms 45, last verse, it says, instead of thy father shall be the children. So, the ancient ones will be the one who has to come in the resurrection. And then, of course, the last, there is no other, you see, way. That's the general word of mankind. You see. Okay, now there's one more scripture. Read Revelation chapter 20, verse 6. Revelation chapter 20, verse 6.
Okay, brother. Revelation chapter 20, verse 6. Blessed and holy is he that had part in the first resurrection, and such the second death hath no power, but they shall be priests of God and of Christ, and shall reign with him 1,000 years.
What is the resurrection that is mentioned there?
It's the first resurrection, brother.
Ah, first means what? None can be before this one. Correct, no? So whatever comes,
Yes.
you should be after this one only. So this is the first. And what are they going to do? After partaking in the first resurrection, what is the work they're going to do there?
They will reign with Christ for a
Very
thousand
good.
years.
Very good. So they're going to reign with Christ. So Christ, church, they're both going to rule. So once the queen passes, you see next what will happen? The concubines will come. Now on the earth, who will be there? You see, it will be the ancient worthies. Isaiah 2:2, Micah 4:4. So these all verses which clearly tells that the law shall go forth from Zion and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. So these scriptures clearly prove that there is a hierarchy, there is an order. You see, that order can't be, you see, just haphazardly, you see, given. I read one more scripture, 1 Corinthians 15, 22 and 23, brother.
First Corinthians 15, verse 22 and 23. For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive. But every man in his own order, Christ the first fruits, afterward they that are Christ at his coming.
You see, there the order is given. Every man who dead in Christ, sorry, dead in Adam, shall come back alive in Christ. But would they come once for all? Every man in his own order. Order is there. Discipline is there. What is the order? Christ, the first fruits. Who are these first fruits? This is the little flock. The first fruits of the Holy Spirit. You see, Holy Spirit was given to the ancient ones, but what is the fruitage? You see, the fruits, the result. You see, the result is first given by this little flock. So these are the first. Then they that are Christ at his presence. When he is present, they that are, you see, coming to Christ, they will also be resurrected. So here the scriptures clearly says the order. What is the order? Okay, good, brother. Good. Okay. Now next question. Question number 88. Explain why the refusal of any to go on to consecration could not justly merit punishment. You see? Now, what does it mean? If somebody doesn't consecrate, does it mean that God is going to punish them?
No, brother, he will not punish them.
Why? They are the truth. You see, they are shown disgrace to the truth. You see, they are not accepted it. They were not willing to walk. Why? Why?
Because it's not an obligation, brother, it's a choice. So and God will not punish them, brother.
Is it a compulsion? Is it a compulsory thing that they should consecrate?
No, brother, no.
You see, it is not compulsory. If they want, they can consecrate. If they want, they can remain unconsecrated also. It's not an issue at all. You see, read. Okay, now you tell me which is the scriptures which says that this is not a compulsion. They can either do it or not. Is there any scripture, brother?
It's Romans 12, verse 1, brother.
Very good, very good. Read. Romy sister, Amma brother. Hope you are both are there.
Yes, please.
Okay. Can any of you read Romans 12:1?
Okay, brother. Romans
12th chapter,
one.
first verse, yeah.
I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your body a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is reasonable service.
Very good. I beseech you, brethren. What is the word beseech? Request. I am requesting you, brethren, offer your bodies as a living sacrifice. This is a reasonable thing what you can do. Now, why Apostle Paul is requesting? You see, he is requesting, he is telling them this is the best thing you can do. Why did he not compel them? Why did he not strictly tell them this is the thing that you have to do? You see? Because this is an invitation. You see, you got free will. You got a choice to do whether you can accept the invitation or you can reject the invitation. You see, we just now studied now the parable of the wedding feast. You see, invitation was given, but did they all turn up for the invitation, brother?
No, no, brother.
No, they did not come up. So what would happen? What did the Lord do? What did the king do? The king left them. He gave one more call. At least come. But they began to give excuses. Once if the excuses comes, what does it mean? King is going to turn his face to other people. You see, there's no compulsion in this matter at all. It is a free will. Because God is the master and the chief architect of his plan. He knows that if somebody doesn't come now, they will definitely come in the visible kingdom. So God has faith in his plan. There's no doubt at all. You see? So this is not a compulsion. Hence, you remember, you see, when Jesus invited somebody for you see to walk in narrow walk of life, what is the terms and conditions that Jesus told to disciples? What was the condition to become the disciples of Jesus?
Denying ourselves
Very good. Next.
and carrying the cross and follow the footsteps of Jesus Christ.
Very good. Now to begin, you see, when he spoke to about denying yourself, what is the first words that Jesus used before telling deny yourself? Did Jesus use any particular words before telling that you have to deny, you have to carry the cross, you have to follow me? What is the words that Jesus used before these words?
If anybody wants to,
Very good, sir. Excellent. If any man wants to be my disciple, that means what? There's no compulsion. You got a choice. If you want, you can do. If you don't want, you can stay. Not an issue at all. You see, Nicodemus came, you see, and Zacchaeus came, Joseph of Arimathea came, you see, so many people were there, you see. Even in fact, Mary, the mother of Jesus, also, you see, she also was being with the Lord. But did Jesus put a condition that you have to consecrate it now, you have to do this one? No. You see, that is an individual choice. It is an invitation. If this is not an invitation, that would become a compulsion. Compulsion is not God's plan. Invitation. So if you accept, it's good. If you don't accept, what will happen? Nothing will happen. So they will come back in the 1,000 years. Apart from that one, apart from them coming in the 1,000 years, would they face any other thing? If somebody doesn't consecrate, God is not going to punish them. They'll come back in the visible kingdom. But when they come back in the visible kingdom, will they have any bitter experiences there? Those who don't consecrate now, if they come in the kingdom, will they have some bitter experiences there?
The price, the little flock where they said they won't be able to receive that, so they won't receive that from.
Okay. See, there will be some bitter, you see, feelings in them when they realize that they were given the opportunity to be of the little flock. And they let it go down because of their own selfishness. They will feel very sad that they rejected this best offer, which is not given to everybody, but only to some special people, only for a special time. You see, they will definitely, you see, feel very bad that they missed this opportunity. Imagine you're going to some place. You see, you leave early. You do all your best to go. You see, but at last, very last moment, you see, the only bus or the train or a plane that goes to your destination, if you miss that one, how, you see, bad you will feel, how sad you will feel. That is what is going to happen in the 1,000 years for those who don't consecrate. You see, because the whole world, they did not know the truth, but these people know the truth. You see, their eyes were opened. But they bluntly, you see, rejected it. You see, but the world will question, at least if this truth was given to us, at least to a certain extent, as your eyes were opened, if at least these eyes were opened for us, we would have consecrated to such a loving God. You see? Okay, this experience they will have this, you see, this the feelings and these things will come, but there won't be any eternal punishment of, you see, chastisement or hell torture, hellfire or something. Okay, now, do anybody remember that there will be such experiences, like that people will have these feelings in the 1,000 years? Do you remember any scripture? Gopal brother or Romi sister?
It's in Revelation chapter, really,
Okay.
that they will.
Which one?
I think in Revelation or and Isaiah also, brother.
Okay, how does it come?
It's like winter and summer come, but we are still here or something like that, brother.
Yeah, that comes in the book of Habakkuk. Okay, so that speaks about the great multitude, but I'm speaking about the people. I'm not speaking about the great multitude, but I'm speaking about the people who don't consecrate but come back in the 1,000 years in the general world resurrection. Okay, tell me.
No, I don't.
Okay, read. Daniel 12:2. Daniel 12:2.
Daniel 12:2, and many of them that sleep in the dust of the earth fell away, some to everlasting life, and some to sin and everlasting contempt.
You see, this is the scriptures. You see, many of them, actually it is all of them, who sleep in a dust shall awake. So everybody will be resurrected. But how will the people come? Some will come to everlasting life. But some will come to shame and everlasting contempt. That word everlasting is not actually everlasting. Not it means continuously go on forever. It actually is lasting. Some will come in the resurrection for that shame and that contempt during that age. You see, why in that age? Because when they come up, so many people will come up, their friends, their relatives. You see, so many people will come up and they will tell, and they will realize when they see in front of their eyes what all is taught by God's children now in the Bible, they will see fulfilled in front of their eyes. Then they will realize, oh, some brother was there, brother Gopal, brother Ashish was there. They all came and witnessed to me. They all came and told me the truth. Ayo, I should have accepted the truth. I should have consecrated that. But now, you see, I lost the crown. You see, and this will, the people will come to know. You see, the world will come to know. The who will learn the truth, who will not learn the truth, who are rejected it, you see, then they will feel very bad. You see, it will be like a shame. You see, shame not in the sense that as we feel shame. You see, they'll feel very much let down that you see, we should not have done this one. So, you see, apart from this one, there's not going to be no other physical punishment to them. Okay. Now the next question. Explain the antitypical significance of the Levites having no inheritance in the land of Canaan. Page number 130, para 2. Okay, now Amar brother or Gopa, what do you, Romister, would you like to take some turn and answer this question?
One more time.
See, the Levites, did not have any property. No land was given to them. Right now, the entire land of Canaan was equally distributed to all the tribes. But the tribe of Levi was never given any land. So what does it signify? What does it, antitypically, what does it mean?
Well, we are not belong to the world, us, and we will have that blessing called in.
Very good, sir. See, Levi, the tribe of Levi, what work they used to do? Where were they working? Roman Stammer, brother. Where were they working? The tribe of Levi.
Tabernacle,
Very good. Tabernacle. So, they were supposed to do no other work, only work for the Lord. Okay. Now, what about the food? Who will take care of the food and who will take care of their other things? What about their lifestyle, the living? How did God compensate for their living?
That is all need to be from the offering.
Good. How much offering? One is the sacrifice. You see the meat. You see, they were supposed to take certain bit of the meat and use it for themselves. But apart from this meat offering, was there any other offering that was given?
The grains and whatever things have been harvested for this.
Okay. Apart from that one, Gopal brother, apart from that one, anything was given to them?
Yes, brother. They got a tenth part out of 100.
Oh, very good. 10 part. Oh, so they used to get tithes. Now, how many tribes used to give tithes to Levi?
At 11, brother.
11. So, 10% from 11 means how much, how many percent?
110.
110%. So, each and every tribe, they lose the 10% out of 100 means how much they are left over?
90%.
90%. So who is the richest? Is it the Levi or is it the other 11 tribes?
Levi, brother.
Levi. So this is the compensation which God gives to God's children. You see, we might feel that we are destitute, we are nothing, we're nowhere. Yes, of course. We need to suffer because this world is a evil world. The God of this world will never allow us to prosper. He will never allow us to sustain. A lot of difficulties will be there. But our, you see, Father of heaven, He will never leave us nor forsake us. He will definitely take care whatever things we need. You see, automatically God will deliver. You know, the people of Israel, when they traveled in the wilderness, you see, manna, did somebody come and knock at the door and give them manna every day? How was the manna delivered? Did somebody come and knock at the door and give them the delivery?
No, brother.
Automatically.
No, brother.
Automatically used to come. Same way. We are not supposed to think what we are going to eat, what we are going to stay, what we are going to do. God will definitely open the door of opportunity. Automatically, He will show us the way. And that is the time that we need to utilize it. Manna was there. Israel people were supposed to take it and eat it. That's it. Only thing, take and eat. So similarly, God will take care of us. As it took care of the Levites. Okay, how much land was given to Levites? This is about the daily livelihood. Okay, what about the land? They used to have children. You see, they need family. They need to, you see, stay in a house. Of a house is required. What about their houses? Where was the land? How much land did God give to the tribe of Levi? Tell me.
Just for the living, okay.
For the tribe of Levi, how much land was given?
Actually, I don't know how much, but just for living only, brother. And after that, they were not supposed to give that land to their children.
No land was given to them, correct? No, so that means no land was given to them, correct? No,
Yes.
like other tribes, they were not given any particular land for cultivation, for the residing, etc., etc. They were given no. If no land is given to them, where will they stay? Where were their homes? Where was the home or the house of Levi? Where did they need to stay? Tell me, Ramesh.
Well, brother, wherever the tabernacle is made, they have to be around there. So they have to keep their house or tent accordingly, brother.
Very good, very good. Super. You see, that is the place for them. You see, what about the rest of the tribes? Could they come near the tabernacle? They could not come. They should not come. If they come, they will die. Only, you see, the Levi tribe was living very close to God, inside the circle. Apart from that one, nobody was allowed inside. Imagine what God's protection. If somebody touches the tabernacle, what will happen? They will die on the spot. So Levi were given the super divine protection. Nothing was supposed to harm them. Same way, God will give us entire protection. All the angels in heaven are appointed to take care of us. They are ministering spirit to us. Hebrews 1st chapter, last verse. You see? So, no need for any land. Our land is what? Heavenly Canaan. That God has promised. There is our inheritance, the Emmanuel's land. You see, so we should not be worried about what God is going to give here. But for our lifestyle, that means for our living, whatever is necessary, that one definitely God will, you see, help us. God will definitely take care of us. So these things has to be in our mind. You see, so as the Levi was taken care of the entire thing, they were supposed to do only the Lord's work. So similarly, you see, we need to do the Lord's work. Doesn't mean that we should be a full-time ministry. You see, get some wages. Today, the pastors and all like that, they will keep on telling that we are full-time ministry. What full-time ministry? Even if you are doing full-time ministry, people should be there to listen. Now, the terms and conditions of the world is like that. Very difficult for a livelihood only. If they come and sit in the house, you see, from morning till evening, where will it benefit the people? You see, nobody is there to sit and listen 24 hours. You see, we need to work and we need to serve the Lord. You see, no full-time ministry, no taking wages. You see, salary. You see, therefore, see, voluntary sacrifice. And God takes care of all these things. You see, He compensates us in either way to take care of our livelihood. Very good. Okay. So we'll stop here. So next week, again, you see, we will take such type of questions and we will discuss. So before coming to the meeting, so I request everybody to please go through it. See, as Gopal brother did, you see, he thoroughly studied it. It doesn't take much time. See, today we covered only 3 pages. So 3 pages to cover 1 hour is very beautiful time. Even 4 pages is good. You see, just 15 minutes for 1 page. Of course, you can take some time and read just 4 pages at least just before coming to the meeting. So when you recollect what is there, and we can just summarize it and we can revise it. It will be a very fruitful thing. Okay? So, any doubts, any questions, any suggestions? Tell me, Romister.
No, brother. No, brother. Thank you.
Okay.
No question, brother. I've been through some of the questions. this afternoon, but just came out and have some issues to answer.
Good, Stefan.
The
Good. You are quite able to answer many of the questions. I'm really happy based on your all developments. Really, very good. You're all doing good. Good. So let us continue the same way. So we'll meet next Wednesday. Okay, in the end. Okay. Who can offer a prayer? I think in the beginning, Gopal brother did a prayer. Okay. Romish, Amar brother, can you offer a prayer?
Okay, brother.